Thank you all for coming. Appreciate you being here. I'm sorry you got held upon and rained upon and got all the things upon that I didn't get upon. Then it all missed me. Last night they had warnings all over the place and we're under a thunderstorm watch and I could see the lightning north of me and never heard the thunder, went away, nothing, no rain, no nothing. But then, and what do you say? But I did go out and planted in my garden. I can't use a tiller, I don't have a tiller, but so I took a sharpshooter and I dug that garden with a sharpshooter. That'll work out. And I can't do this right arm like I want to, but I'd push it down and then do the pulling up with my left arm. Now my left arm kind of hurts back there, and that's all. But anyway, so you learn to make do. And I planted tomatoes, and I'm waiting till the third. I plant a lot by the moon. I watch the moon. I've just always have. I grew up doing that. Farmer's Almanac, and the moon phase for the beans and the peas and all the stuff is the 3rd through the 5th of April. So if you plant by the moon, get your beans and peas in on the 3rd through the 5th. Yeah, all the above ground crops go in then. And that's because the moon will be on starting to the wax going up, so it pulls up. And when it's coming down, you plant underground stuff. So, when the moon's going down, you plant your taters, so that's when you put them in the ground, I said, well, I'm glad you don't talk like that all the time, Tony. I know. That where I grew up. Oh, thanks. Yeah, I heard that a lot growing up. I mean, a lot of people thought that way. Pardon? Good Friday, yeah. Yep, Good Friday. Yeah. Well, all right, let's jump into this message. And I titled it Faith, Service, Courage. 3 things. You need them, you must have them. Then Jesus talks about, he wants you to have faith. And listen. You're going to hear in any message, if somebody is, whoever's bringing the word, teaching it, is if the preacher teaching the truth, just what it says in Scripture, you're going to have to hear the word faith and, of course, the word love, and that's not so much in this one. Service, courage, but faith is part of it. We're not here without faith. You're not going to be healed without it. You certainly can't be saved without it. You can't do anything without faith. And whatever that you're struggling with, whatever you need, whatever is your issue today, you need faith. And here's the great part. God says you don't have to have a whole bunch of it. Jesus said a little tiny mustard seed worth of faith, that's not very much faith, can move mountains. You didn't even say, he said to a tree here, be plucked up by the roots and cast over and it'll be done. What he was trying to say is a little bit of faith, just a tiny bit, motivates our great big God to work miracles. So if you're waiting for big faith, for something to happen, look within yourself and say, do I have any at all? Because what he was teaching there, this is not in here, but this is to lead into this. If you have a mustard seed of faith, just an inkling, he said, that is enough faith for me to work miracles. And so the question from God today to all of us is, why don't you let him? Don't you have just a little seed of faith? That's what he's talking about. At least enough to call on him and say, would you work this miracle? Would you bring this money? Would you heal my body? I believe you, God, to do it. And you see, if he says a mustard seed, have you ever thought about this? I should have brought a message on this. I'm so into it now. But if he said a mustard seed, If all you have is a mustard seed, and that's what a lot of us have to work on lots of times, well, what else is consuming my whole emotion, my psyche, my feelings? I mean, if all I have room for is a little tiny seed of faith, well, what else is filling up the rest of my space? Doubt, fear, worry, anxiety, stress, bitterness, anger, complaining. I mean, what else? Something, we're not an empty vacuum. And so if you in this head, in this heart, if you don't fill it with the right stuff, the other junk will get in. You know, if you don't go around and vacuum and dust your house every so often, you know what's going to happen. In my house, and though it's so thoroughly cleaned and dusted all the time, I moved a curtain yesterday and choked. You could see all that dust mites in the, or dust motes in the air, and I thought, somebody needs to clean this curtain back here. But the front looks good. I've learned this. If you vacuum the front, who worries about the back? So, until you need to open it real quick, and then. But the whole point is this. I think there's a whole lot of dust in people's hearts and minds, because if you only have a mustard seed of faith, then what else is filling the space? It might be filling up with dust. All the dust of doubt and fear and all the stuff that goes in there. And so think about it. And that's why we're supposed to, we pray, search our heart and know us, Lord, and reveal to us any unclean thing that's there. So God, if I only have a mustard seed, what's occupying the space? Ask yourself that. It's going to have to be something. Is it worry? You mad at somebody? Are you just so full of doubt? You just don't believe God could touch and heal you? Listen, we've gotten so used to running to the doctor, don't hear something wrong. I'm not saying don't do that, but why don't we go to God first? I mean, that's what we're here. That's what we're saying we believe. God first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But we run to the doctor first. Go to God. And He may say, I'm going to heal you, and He may do it instantly and directly, or He may put in your heart, no, go see the doctor, I'm going to use him today. Or go see the chiropractor, or go see whoever. For me, for weeks and months now, it's been, go see the physical therapist. But can God touch you right now and heal you instantly, immediately? Yes. Can God right now provide a miracle of finances for you that you just didn't see coming? Yes. Can God right now, listen to this, fill your empty heart and give you a friend for life that you never knew you could have? Yes. Can God take your disappointment and loneliness and fill your life with love and compassion? Yes. With just a mustard seed of faith. Do you believe? And so I use that because we want to jump into this thing with this first one. We just want to talk about innocent faith. Just innocent faith. Not tainted faith. Innocent faith. And that's faith that innocent faith is faith that's not tainted with reason and opinion. And that's not overanalyzed and not full of logic. Can I say this real quick before we read this passage? Some of you need to quit analyzing God to death. Quit analyzing the Holy Spirit. Quit analyzing everybody. I know what they're up to. Then they're this, and I think they have this ailment, and then that. Really? Do you know how we discover ailments in other people, especially if we're not trained to discover them? We judge them by what our ailments are. I think they're a little wacky. Be careful. I think, don't y'all think they're off? They're just off a little bit. And everybody's looking at you going, yeah, oh yeah, they're off, all right. What else do you have to judge by? So listen here. Listen, innocent faith. Innocent faith. Faith that's not tainted. Listen, quit analyzing. Quit being so logical. Use logic. But when it comes to faith, is faith logical? When has it ever been? And when can you ever figure it out and analyze it? Reason, opinion, or science? Faith doesn't depend or need any of those things. And sometimes, friends, you're just overanalyzing it. You're studying it. You're trying to get logic out of it. And I've heard people say to me, "Oh, Tony, that's just not logical." No, but it's faith. Is it logical for you to say, "Lay hands on me, and I'm going to believe this thing in me, or whatever this illness I have, or this whatever my leg's hurting, it's going to be removed. It's going to be healed." Is that logical? Nah. That's why most people don't do it. That's why Christians don't do it. Because it really doesn't, it's just not logical. I'll tell you what's logical to all of us, even as Christians. Take some pills. Go get some more pills. Get an injection. Do all that. It's just totally illogical to say, "People, lay hands on me and we're agreeing together for this thing to be healed and removed." You know what it's considered today? That's bordering on heresy. Yeah, it's like, "Oh, careful here. Yes, we don't do that." Well, let's talk about this innocent faith. And look what Jesus said about it. There's not a whole lot we have to elaborate. People were bringing these little children to Jesus. And they wanted him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. Now, there are some guys that need to get their act together. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant, and he said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." You say, "Well, that's cool." So we know Jesus prizes little children, and they're special to him. All you little children, all those children back there at that table right there, do you hear this? God says you're very special to him. He loves you. So he said, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these." And then he says, "Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Have you ever stopped and thought about what that means? And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. And that's great. If any of you have children, any of these kids back here that want to be God's blessings, we'll bring them up sometime soon, and whenever you want, and place our hands on them and ask God's blessings on them the same way. In the meantime, would you like to have God's blessings upon you? Because he says, like the little children, if you don't come to me with that same innocence of heart, openness, trusting, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. Do you get what he's saying here? He said, if you come to me as an adult who knows it all, if you come to me saying, "Oh, I have this book memorized. I know this Bible from cover to cover." If you come to me in any way, Jesus is saying, any other way than a child saying, "I don't know, I don't get it, I'm willing to learn. What I think I know, I'm not sure I really know." If you come like that as a little child, he said, "I'll give you the same blessings I give little children." But he said, you've got to come to me and to me as a little child, innocent in faith. You know, what does a child want? What do these little children back, what do these kids back here want? Every one of them. And they get it. I see it all the time. They get time. They get attention. They get tenderness, and it shows. They get hugs, and they get security, and it shows. But friends, Jesus Christ is teaching here that that's exactly what I want you to come. He's saying, "That's what I want you, the way I want you, and the attitude I want in your heart to come to me. I want you to come to me And I want you to know I'll give you time. I, Jesus, have time for you as my children. And he said, I want you to come and seek my attention. I want you to come and have my tenderness placed in your heart and upon you. I want you to come and get spiritual hugs. I want you to be secure that I'm your Father God, that I'm your Jesus, your Savior, your brother in Christ. And I'll hug anybody that wants a hug that'll let me hug them. Do you ever let Christ hug you in the Spirit? Or are you just so hurt and disappointed and wounded in life that you can't open your heart to even let Jesus Christ give you a hug? To let him console you and comfort you? Do you run to him looking for him and looking for, God, give me a hug. God, give me closeness today. What is that hug? It's fellowship. God, give me fellowship. I'm in desperate need of friendship. I'm in desperate need of, I'm lonely, God. I don't know what to do. I'm afraid to admit to myself or anybody else, Lord, that I'm really scared in life. That I don't like being alone at night. That I go through the day, Lord, just wondering, why can't I have a close friend like everybody else? And Jesus is saying, you've always had me. I'm here. And if you really believe in me and trust me, I will be your close friend, and through someone else, I can bring someone and through them be a friend. I've had people say to me, Tony, I just don't even have one really close friend. And they forget one of our old songs, right? What a friend I have in Jesus, all my sins and griefs to bear. Remember? Then start singing it in your heart and reaching out in that mustard seed of faith. What a friend I have in Jesus. And he will provide. And I've seen people, and they've told me these things, and we start practicing this, and before you know it, they say, you know, I met someone, we're going to eat together, and you know, especially, and a lot of ladies and that have lost husbands and things, and they say, I'm so lonely, and suddenly they find a friend. But first it's discover what a friend you have in Jesus. I tried out to be a singer once, but they rejected me. So anyway, they said, you're much better at speaking, but once in a while it just comes over me. He just said, make a joyful noise to the Lord, right? So we can all do that. He said, come to me. Take time for me and I'll give you time. I'll love you. And I'll give you tenderness and hugs. And there's one other thing that these kids have back here from this family. I didn't mean to pick on you, but you just happen to show up and God's just saying, wow, look at that. I go back there and you know what? Every one of them hugs me. Just boom, boom, boom. And it always reminds me of the hugs of Christ. And there's something else they have that every one of us needs, and it's security. I need to know that no matter what, no matter how stupid I act, no matter what kind of fool I've been, no matter how lacking in faith, no matter how foolish I am with the Word of God, I need to know that I'm secure in Christ. And he's not going to say, I'm sick of you. I'm walking out on you. This is it. We're done. Instead, every time I'm stupid, insensitive, careless, and do the things that human beings do that's so bad, he's there saying, whoever comes to me, I will in no way cast out. Come on, get it confessed. I will never leave you or forsake you. You can't make me walk away. Isn't that something? So come to him with innocent faith and be like these kids right here. You know what children do? They come to you and they believe in you and they believe you'll give them all these things, this time and tenderness and hugs and security, that you'll provide these things for them. They trust you. They don't care what anybody thinks either. They're going for it. If they're going to hug you, they're going to hug you. They're going to give you a piece of candy they've been working on. They're going to give it to you. There's nothing like a slobbered on piece of candy to make you feel great. Little kids don't care if they're talked about. They don't care what you think. They're going to mom and daddy. They just truly believe that you're there for them and always will be. And Jesus says, okay, get it? That's what he's trying to teach them through these kids coming up here. Don't you dare send these kids away. I'm going to put my hands on them and bless them, but I'm going to use them to teach a lesson just like this right here today. That everything they need, you need. And what they are to me, you are to me. The only way we can come to him is surrendered and saying, God, my little heart's empty. My mind's confused. And I don't know what to do. And he's saying, got you. I got you. I'll always have you. Let's look at this next point. With that, he says, now I want you to turn around and have humble service. Be humble in your heart and serve me. We don't hear this much anymore. We hear about all the things God, you know, all these popular speakers, I'll call them speakers, they tell you how much, you know, God wants to do for you, and they don't remind us and teach us this most valuable lesson, that Jesus came to serve and expects us to be servants. Here's what he said. In Matthew 20, Jesus called them together, his disciples, and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them. He said they dictate over them. And their high officials exercise authority over them. They all knew that. They're looking at the Romans. There couldn't be any more exercise of authority or power than that, or abuse of power. And he said, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. This is radical teaching for that day. Because every government, every society, everything, they looked at the Pharisees, their own religious order, everything was dictatorial. There were the haves and all the have-nots. And now he's saying, if in my kingdom, it's the other way around. If you want to be somebody, you become nobody. If you want to be a chief out here, then you're going to wash some feet. You're going to get dirty by helping people, by serving them. You're serving me through helping other people. You know what God's teaching here? My people's hands have to get dirty. Their hearts need to stay clean, but their hands have to get dirty. You got to get out there and get with it. And people need help. People need to be touched. People need to be hugged. They need things done for them. They need things fixed in their homes. They need all kinds of things. And you're just going to have to get dirty to do it. He said, you know, there just comes a time you're going to have to wash a dish. You have to carry out trash. You're going to have to fix some things. And some of you guys are probably thinking, well, he's aiming it at me. I don't know. Well, and he wants you to pick up some stuff. This is not a jump on a guy thing, but you know, I have wives who talk to me and say, I wish you'd just pick some stuff up. And there's certain stuff, guys, that you really need to pick up. Don't make her use a stick or some tongs to pick up things that you wear. Pick them up yourself. But what if you do it for others? What if you have to go into somebody else's house and you got to do that for them? And yet he's saying, excuse me, I do it for you. Listen to me. How many times has Jesus picked up your nasty, dirty underclothes? How many times has he walked in for your smelly feet? How many times has Jesus picked up the nasty and the dirty in our lives and washed us clean? How many times has he come in and carried out our trash? Huh? I'm going to be careful. That slipped under me while I almost did. I'm not as good at that surf thing anymore. How many times has he carried our trash out? How many times has he washed out the container and sanitized it with his blood? When we come to Christ, he asks for commitment, real total commitment. He wants to change us from the inside out, so he cleanses us from the inside out. He comes as a servant. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, invites me in, I'll come in, I'll sup with them." What does that mean? I'll not only have a meal with them, I'll come into your filthy house and I'll clean it up. I'll get in those little dark places. I'll get behind your curtains and I'll really clean them. That's Christ. He said, "I just want you to come to me as a little child in childlike faith, and then I want you to come to me and say, I'll serve these kids. Lord, I will serve you by serving them. I will no longer let my pride and my ego and my revulsion to touching other people and their things be an obstacle to being who you call me to be. I've said it here before and we've laughed about it, but it's a thing for me and I know I have to do it. And there's been situations where I've had to do it, but I'm not a foot guy. Somebody puts a foot towards me and I just want to run. And I can take a hand, I can take a bleeding hand, anything, but just somebody's foot and had to take their sock off and I feel contaminated and I want to pour, you know, alcohol all over me and peroxide and bathe in it. And you say, that's a strange little aversion. I don't know where it came from. I don't know why. And yet it seems like so many times I've had to help people put their socks on or wash their socks. Isn't it amazing? The other day I had to help a person and with a sandal and I was thinking there's things crawling up my arm. I can feel them. Kill the cooties. But you know what? The only way to overcome your fear is through that mustard seed of faith in Christ and face it. Quit running. Quit running. Stop running. Some of you are afraid of heights. You're going to have to face them. You have trouble going over an overpass. You're going to have to go over it. Don't give in. If you're afraid of water, what are you going to do? You're going to have to do something. You're going to have to face it or it'll chase you from now on. The devil will use it. Are you going to come with childlike faith and say, Jesus, sink or swim, you got me. If I get pulled over on the height, you got me. Face it. Because you're not facing it alone, you're facing it with him and through him. Let him bring out your sins and your uncleanness, your self-centeredness, your self-protectiveness, and let Jesus Christ fill you with his righteousness, his purity, and his wholeness. He wants to live in you. He wants to be your parent. God wants to be your father, and Christ wants to be your savior and your Lord and your brother and sister. You're going to let him? You're going to communicate with him? And by the way, when he washes your feet, let him. And then you take that bowl and that towel, and through helping others, wash his. It's time to get dirty. It's time to get out of your shell and crawl out of your little box in our protective environment. And get out here and do what Christ called us to do, to make disciples. And then I want to close at this point. I was reading the other day, and this bishop, he'd been a bishop for quite a long time, and he was going to retire, and they asked him, what's some of the most significant things you've accomplished in your life? He said, I'm not sure about all that, but I can tell you one of the most significant things that ever happens in my ministry. And what's that? He said, it's when I say, in closing. He said, people are no more happier than when I say, and in closing. So in closing, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. You're gonna, the faith of a child. Innocent faith. Humble service. And be strong with it. And be courageous with it. Don't let anybody back you off. Let me read to you. You can find this in other places. Deuteronomy 31. You can read it in there in another place. But I'm going to read to you Joshua 1:9. Here's what it says. Have I not commanded you? God says, he said, have I not commanded you? He said, I've commanded you, buddy. Listen. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Mark it down. Now this New International Version, it may say it a little different, but it's the same, but it may be stated a little differently. So you be strong and courageous. I command you, God says, I command you. It's a command. You be strong and courageous. You don't be afraid. You don't run from your fears. You don't run from your troubles. You don't run from other people. And you certainly don't run from the devil. You know what you're supposed to do and I'm supposed to do with this childlike, innocent faith? I trust him and I do what he says. That's, kids have to learn that. Do what your parents tell you. Well, we need to learn to do what our parent tells us. And what's he telling us? He said, I want you to put on the belt of truth. I want you to know the word of God. And I want you to apply it. And I want you to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Not self-righteousness, but the blood of Jesus righteousness that he gives to you. And I want you to put on the helmet of your salvation. And I want you to get on your feet, those shoes that have the spikes in them. You know, the shoes of the preparation of gospel peace. He said that. I want you to dig in like those Roman soldiers dig in with those cleats on there. And I want you to hold up the shield of faith, because the devil will throw those fiery darts at you of doubt and fear and anxiety, all the stuff you're experiencing. He said, I want you to hold up faith, that childlike, innocent faith that'll stop those darts. And I want you to take in your hand this, the sword of the Spirit, which is this word of God. And I want you to go after him. That's my paraphrase. Take in your hand, you know, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And be fully armed. But God doesn't arm a soldier of his to stand there and look pretty. He arms his soldiers to go into battle and to be courageous. Friends, you're going to have to stand up against some things. Christians have allowed too much. And we make all these, they see this reasoning and logic. Where was Christianity when we allowed literally a handful of people to influence our entire country and take God out of the classroom, take him out of the courtroom, take him out of society? And where was Christianity? They were standing there saying, God is Santa Claus. He wants to give you all these good things. And God is saying, have some guts. Are you willing to take the bullet for your commander-in-chief? You're willing to take sarcasm and criticism and persecution? And the only way you can do it, I got tough there from such a soft message. But he's saying somewhere along the line, my people are going to have to be strong and courageous. And the only way you get to that point is, first of all, you're going to have a faith. And you start with a childlike, innocent faith that's not messed up with all this stuff. Well, I don't know what they're going to say about me, and my family might reject me, and I just love to be with my family at Thanksgiving and Christmas at the cost of what? Shaming Christ? Well, I don't know, those people I play cards with and or go out with and all, if I really who God wants me to be, and they won't invite me anymore. Good. It's about time you decided, really, you're going to fish or cut bait. Childlike faith, right there. Innocent faith. The heart of a servant. I'll serve God. I'll serve you. Whatever need, whatever you want me to do, send me. And at the same time, God, I'm going to stand up for you and your holy name. And I'm going to stand up for the people of God. And with that childlike faith, I'm going to put on this armor. And I may be scared to death. I want to tell you something. Everybody's scared when they armor up. Everybody's scared. I never stood in the door of an airplane, walked out of a helicopter, that I was afraid that thing might not open. And you'd be a fool if you did otherwise. And I was praying before and praying going out. God, please open this parachute for me. Because I saw some that partially opened, cigarette rolls, they call them, people hitting together, wrapping up in their canopies, dropping the ground, all that stuff. And that's in your mind, and you see all these other, and you know, it's like, God, please. And so it's like, every time, did I know fear? Yeah. Did I know fear? Did I want to sometimes just unhook and say, not today. We've got a 9, 10 mile, 15 knot wind. We're not supposed to jump in it, but they're going to make us jump anyway. It's going to slam us into trees. It's going to make us hit sideways on the ground. We'll probably later in life have to have our shoulder replaced. That's from stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, there's that faith, just that mustard seed of faith that says, I'm going. I'm going. And I remember saying this to myself many times. I'm going. I'm going. I'm going. I'm going. I'm going. Now it's time to do that in Christianity in your life. Whatever you've been putting off, whatever it is that God just keeps coming back at you with. Start that business, write that book, get that new job, whatever it is. Go help this person, do this, do that. Change your attitude. I don't know what it is. Whatever it is. I'm going, I'm going, I'm going, I'm going, I'm going, I'm out. And guess what? It's open. It's open. Just have that faith. Have that faith. Be willing to serve. And be strong and courageous. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God bless you, His children, in the name of Jesus. God bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen.